We're looking at a series, and the focus is on the Beatitudes, these sayings of Jesus when at the beginning of his big sermon. And we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 5, and I'd love to just read through those Beatitudes again from the start to the end. Just sometimes it's good to remind ourselves of where we've been so far. So we're in Matthew chapter 5. I'm going to just read through from verse 1 and through to verse 10. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." So last week, we were looking at those who hunger for righteousness. And this week, we're on to verse 7. We're looking at blessed are the merciful. And I wonder, is your life characterized by mercy? Do people associate you with compassion and love when they think of you? Are they the kind of adjectives that go along with people's thoughts about you? Maybe you do think of yourself as merciful. Maybe you do count yourself as a compassionate sort of person. Maybe you give to charity. In 2016, some statistics were given about people's giving to charity. So 61% gave to charity in the UK in the year 2016. Apparently women are more likely to give to charity than men. And 70% of potential donors, so people that potentially would give to charity, agreed that they would be more inclined. Oh, there we go. Hooray. Be more inclined to give to charity if they knew how the money was directly helping. And if you go onto some charity websites, you'll often see a little link saying, "Find out how you can give specifically or where your money's being spent." People want to know. They want some level of control, don't they, nowadays, about how that money is being spent. But I wonder, why do people give to charity? Because we don't have to, do we? There's no law that says you must give. You must be a compassionate, merciful person. So why do people give to charity, I wonder? In this survey, they listed some motivators behind why people might give. And 96% said that they give to charity out of a sense of ethics or morality. People want to be seen as good. People want to feel like they're a good person. And some charities have played on this sense of duty, this sense of, I'm going to do this because it makes me feel better about myself. And these are just a list of slogans that some charities, none of the charities represented in this room, by the way, are mentioned here, but these are few slogans that seem to play on this sense of duty. Don't delay, give today. Don't turn away, give today. Don't turn your back on those in need. Doing nothing for others is the undoing of ourselves. Forget what you can get and see what you can give. What have you given today? You can make a difference, so why don't you? And I could spend the whole of this talk now trying to make you feel guilty. That is one option. If I look at this passage, this particular verse, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy." I could show you pictures of people in poverty. I could give you statistics, both globally and locally on our doorstep, of people who are in need and make you feel guilty that you're not being merciful enough. Or maybe for some of you, you'd be patting yourself on the back thinking, yes, I've done my bit. And yet I don't think this is what Jesus is saying here. And the danger is that if we start reading the Beatitudes at verse 7, we end up feeling guilty because we decide that the Beatitudes are about duty, about doing something in order to be blessed. And I believe the gospel, the message that Jesus came to bring, is about beauty, not duty. And that's why I wanted to read from the start again, at the beginning of the Beatitudes, because it starts with, blessed are the poor in spirit. You're blessed if you realize you can't do anything to be loved. There's nothing you can bring to the table to make God love you. It's completely about His mercy. He didn't wait for us to be good enough to receive His mercy. His beautiful mercy flowed freely and intensely in bodily form through Jesus. Whilst we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You see, mercy is who God is. It's His specification. He sees us through a lens of mercy. Many of us try to be good Christians, don't we? We perhaps beat ourselves up a little bit every now and again, thinking we're not very good Christians at the moment, not praying enough, not reading the Bible enough, not being merciful, not being compassionate. I haven't given to charity recently. Whatever it might be, we beat ourselves up. And that's where duty has overtaken beauty. We've started at verse 7. The Beatitudes, really, if we were to read them from beginning to end, the Beatitudes are meant to make us realize that we are bad Christians. We are rubbish at this Christianity faith thing. We needed a good God to help us. And I just wanted to just remind us of the right order that we should read the Beatitudes. We start with recognizing our poverty, that we're poor in spirit, that we're mourners, that we know our loss, we're meek. And then we, in that place of recognizing our poverty, we experience grace, God's kingdom, God's comfort, God's inheritance. And then the natural overflow of experiencing His grace is that we will be fruitful. And this is where we are in verse 7. We're in the fruitful stage. This is the consequence of what's come before. So the only way you're going to be merciful is if you've experienced His grace because you've recognized your need. Our mercy flows from God, not from ourselves. We need to remember that we were objects of beauty to God. He sees us through a lens of mercy and sees us as beautiful. And His mercy flows into us. But we're not just objects of beauty. We're not like a bucket where He just pours His mercy in and it's a one-off pouring out. We constantly need mercy. Just because you've received His mercy in the past doesn't mean you don't need it anymore. So I'd rather us think of ourselves more like hose pipes. Not just buckets, but hose pipes. Because the tap needs to be continually on. You're going to need God's mercy as soon as you walk out of this building. You're going to need God's mercy for the rest of today, for the rest of the week. And yet, I don't know if you've ever had a hose pipe. We've got one in the garden, and I often, at the end of a dog walk, I'll often hose down the dog. And the really annoying thing is I often come to the hose, turn the tap on, can hear the water coming through, and nothing's coming out the end. And it's really frustrating. I'm holding the dog with one hand, and then I've got to try and follow the hose back along. And it's quite a long hose. And then I realize what the problem is. There's a kink. And straighten that kink out. And then I follow along, and there's another kink. And I don't know if you're like that. You realize that there's water coming in, but there's nothing coming out. So there must be a blockage. Something's gone wrong. And I think sometimes in our lives, you know, we recognize that we're not being as compassionate or as merciful as we think we ought to be. We recognize there's a problem. And the problem's not that God stopped flowing mercy into us. God is, the tap's always on. God is a merciful God. It's who he is. The problem is there's a kink. And the kink's either because you have slipped into self-centered duty mode. You've forgotten it's about beauty. Or we've missed the point that the water was not just for us. Sometimes we think of ourselves like buckets when we're actually meant to be hoses. We've loved all the mercy, all God's grace, you know, that wonderful feeling of being in his presence in worship. You know, that time with the Lord in the morning, you know, it's just been amazing. We've hungered after and thirst after righteousness. And yet we've forgotten that that was all for the world. God is wanting us to be hose pipes, not buckets. The water's constantly on, and he's asking us to be conduits, to direct his mercy into the world, into those in need, like Louise was praying about. So who are the beautiful people around us that God is wanting to direct his mercy towards? Well, the people Jesus is speaking to in the Beatitudes are a bunch of people who society had cast out as ugly and a liability. People who were rejects, who felt that they would never have been invited to come and read in the temple. They would never have been invited round for dinner. They were people you did not associate with. These are the people Jesus is talking to. Jesus is saying the kingdom and mercy of God flows to people who feel that they are ugly, that feel that they are unlovely, unwanted. People who feel that they aren't beautiful, that's who God's kingdom is for. God's heart is naturally drawn to those who feel least beautiful in the world's eyes. God sees these people through a lens of mercy. You may be an immoral person, maybe you've taken advantage of any and every person you've ever encountered. You may have murdered and raped. You may have been an abuser. You may have swindled money from elderly people to fatten your own bank account. It doesn't matter. You are blessed, not because of how good you are, but because the kingdom of God is present with you, just as the air that you breathe. The kingdom of God is straining towards you to burst into your life and transform. There's no person who is without hope. No person who cannot be a hose pipe for God. I wonder if any of in that list of people of I just described, maybe you thought, hang on, I'm not sure they should be receiving God's mercy. They should be receiving justice. You know, we heard a lot in the news recently, haven't we, about cases of sexual harassment. Of course, it's right that these issues are being brought to the light. And we want to champion the cause of those who have felt trodden, who have felt abused. I'm not saying we don't. And yet, is God's mercy for the abuser as well? That's a hard thing to talk about now in society. Society might say that we have a duty of care towards those who are deemed ugly in the world's eyes. But the kingdom of God goes much further than a duty of care. The kingdom offers a beautiful care. A care for the unlovely, the unattractive, the unwanted. Those who society has decided are not worthy because of whatever they've done or thought. So what does it look like for us to be a merciful people? To be a church who shows mercy? What does that look like? Because I know that there are some here who have suffered horrendous things. You've been hurt in many ways by people who had evil intent. And so this message that God shows us mercy, that God looks through a lens of mercy and sees us as beautiful, every one of us, no matter what we've done, this is really challenging. For you to be used as a hose pipe for God, to hose his mercy on the world, to hose his mercy on the unlovely, that's really hard if you've experienced real pain and real abuse. And I don't want to diminish in any way what you've experienced. And God is desiring your healing. But he's also desiring your freedom. And I believe God wants to bring his freedom through setting you free by showing mercy to others. You know, we believe in a God who forgave us. And he says, if you do not forgive others, then that forgiveness is going to be really difficult to experience yourself. Mercy will never stop flowing into your life, but there can be a kink in the hose. And you've got to recognize where that kink might lie. And yet, actually, we come back to the beginning of Beatitudes again, and we recognize that we can't do any of this on our own. We cannot be merciful on our own. We cannot forgive on our own. There's nothing you can do in your own strength. Blessed are the poor in spirit. If you're like me, you know you've got nothing. There's nothing. I fail every day. This Lent, I've decided to give up television. And the first day of Lent, I watch telly. Just being honest with you. I fail every day. I have these great ambitions. But I recognize every day there's nothing I can do on my own strength. This all flows from God. His mercy through you out to the world. You can only show mercy to others through him. It all comes from him. It's beauty. It's not duty. So where have we fallen into showing duty of care rather than beautiful care? Has mercy and compassion become something you feel you ought to do? Or is it something that flows from a heart transformed by the revelation of God's mercy for you and his desire to flow through you? I'm just going to just wait for a moment. And I'm just going to ask God to just highlight something in your life, maybe where there's a kink in the pipe. And you know, God's a real gentleman. He's such a gentle God. He's not going to force you to deal with this until you're ready. And yet his desire is for your freedom and for your healing and for you to be used by him as a conduit of his mercy in this world. So Father, we invite you now. We thank you for your gentle presence. We thank you for your gentle spirit. Holy Spirit, would you come and just reveal, search our hearts, search our minds, reveal anything in us that's causing a kink in the pipe. And Lord, I thank you that you don't ask us to do anything in our own strength, that we have all we need in you. You are infinitely merciful. Your mercy is enough for us, and it's enough for this world. And we invite you to come and use us again. Use us again to be host pipes of mercy for this world.